Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. I read this quote this week. God has three sorts of servants in the world. Some are slaves and serve him from fear. Others are hirelings and they serve him for wages. And the last are sons who serve because they love. We've been looking at faith and our relationship with Christ. And in this week and next week, I want to look at it in a dual focus, in fact, in a way that tracks right well with the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. Which says this, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The church age began with the ascension of Christ back into heaven, the bodily ascension of Christ back into heaven. Even to the end of the age is an indication that when he returns in glory, the church age ends and we enter into the physical face-to-face, everlasting fellowship that Jesus spoke about so many times. It is a time for all time without end. But in that time, until that time, we are called to endure this time on earth. It is but a breath. All the difficulties that we can face physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, change. A change because this is not our home. And when we go home, that time that we have struggled falls to the side and we are perfected. But while we are here on earth, while we are yet here as believers, we are to be busy. We will face many challenges on a daily basis. But if we have asked Christ into our lives, our sins are forgiven and we're called not to be idle, but to do those things which will bring glory to God. And involved in those things. That's why I like going to home plate. I like, because I happen to like the Detroit Tigers. Yes, woo-woo. And especially fanatics on this side over here. I don't know. But especially when they win, it's nice. Because we've had some home plates where it has not gone very well. But really, that's not the whole point of the day, although you think it should be. The point is the testimony and faith that these men who play this game for 168 games or 162 games a year, whatever it is, have a love of Christ, you know, and they share that openly, you know, and very honestly, and had some newer players share this year, which is powerful because their emphasis is not on their game and how well they play or how bad they play, but on Christ. They're not idle in what they're doing, and when given opportunity, they're very, maybe not so eloquent, but they're very honest and open. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at some practical ways in which we can be building within and reaching outside, because that's what the job of the church is to do. It is to reach out, and the church exists for the purpose of its non-members. You know, we don't have membership here, but for the purpose of people who don't know Christ. But there are things that we can look internally first to look within that help us to understand about looking out. This week I want to be thinking about what it looks like as a people building up other people in this church. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the opportunity given to us to gather together, Father, to sing praises to your name and to study your word. And as we do so, may you give us your grace. May the Holy Spirit teach and bring to remembrance those things that we hear today that will give us strength tomorrow. But in all of this, Father, we desire to give you glory and glory to your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter Chapter 1, verse 1. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles around you. You can grab one of those and turn to page 183 in the back part of the book. Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1. We had just gone through 1 Peter, which I think is a very appropriate book for this time in our lives. I think it talks about challenges, talks about persecution, and I see more and more the church is going to be persecuted. We are going to be seen as haters because if we stand by God's word, it is counter to what is accepted in the world. I could go off on that for another whole message, but that is the truth of it. I want to offer to us in acrostics on the word ACE. Love the word ACE. What is an ACE? Merriam-Webster's online dictionary defines it as many definitions for the word ACE. Many of them refer to sports and activities. Playing cards, a die, a domino with one single spot is an ACE. The best pitcher on a baseball team is an ACE. Hole-in-one in golf is an ACE, something that I personally have never experienced. I have multiple scores on one hole in a golf game. Military combat pilot who has destroyed five or more enemy aircraft is an ace. Refers to tennis. But it's also in there as an adjective informal, a person who excels at something. A person who excels at something is an ace. The church needs aces. People who excel at something because we are called to excellence. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these things he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, apply in all diligence, and in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if first class condition, if then, if this is true, then this will be true. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, then they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Quick survey. How many in this room stumble? My hand's up. Thank you so very much. We all stumble, don't we? But if you're in Jesus Christ, you have an answer for your stumbling. You have an answer for your transgression that's occasional. If you are continually in the lifestyle of something that is contrary to God's word, then you have a lot of things to be concerned about. But we all stumble. John says, if we are without sin, then we are a liar. But Christ forgave those sins, so we have an avenue to have those sins forgiven. Those little words that we do. I was sharing with a dear friend who said that she had made an utterance that she wished she hadn't said. And quickly, in front of her, the people that was around her, she asked for forgiveness. I love that. We're too quick to, because the world doesn't mind, does it? Because it's so used to it. What they call now the F-bomb is used, it's part of the English language. It should make your skin crawl, you know. But we have an answer for that. We are going to make mistakes. We will occasionally stumble, but there's an answer for us. Here's what we can do within. First, we can accept. A is accept. We need to accept other believers where they are today. It is. We were talking about this, Pastor Roland and I, this last couple of weeks. You know, our sign says, "Come as you are, you'll be welcome at Grace." The concern is, come as you are, you'll be welcome to Grace, and just continue to live that way forever and ever and ever. Amen. No, that's not the point. It means we won't judge you how you are, but we pray that God changes you as you go out, that you leave just a little bit different. Why? Because we're being perfected. As believers in Jesus Christ, our lives are being perfected, which means we change daily. Now, you know what? I'm the same as I was 10 years ago. Maybe there's a problem that you should really consider. Because I'm not the same I was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years. Am I the same as I was when we got married 20 years ago? No, praise God, she says. Hallelujah, hands up in the air. I'm twice the man I am used to be. Anyway, we should be changing. But we need to accept people where they are because we are weird people that have problems. But we don't want to stay in our problems. But this is where God can can perfect and can change and can teach us if we open our ears. If we're just coming every Sunday to validate ourselves, that is not a good thing to do. Nor do we come here to beat you down either. I always say I'm a teacher. I am not a preacher. Preachers scare me. They get loud. They stomp on things. You know, if I'm visiting a church, whatever, if we're on vacation, and or with friends, if I'm writing notes and they go, I'm like jumping up. I gave some people a really good laugh a couple years ago. We were in second row, and I jumped up at this guy hitting something. I wanted to get up and move a few rows back because I thought he was going to come after me. 2 Corinthians 5, and you think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding in that. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. But do the old things try to creep back in? Absolutely. But now you know that they're old things. Now you know that you don't have to follow those things. We're new creatures. And God, you know, this is truly evolution. The change that God does in our heart, not what Darwin theorized as a theory, but the fact is we are changing. God begins a change in us that continues all of our lives. The process of sanctification, changing. We're justified here, sanctified, and then we're glorified when we go home. We do change, thank you. We do change. But it's God that does the changing. They, like you, have a fresh start. They're no longer as they were. I'm not what I was 5, 10, 20 years ago. I shudder at 30, 35 years. I shudder at age 21 when I see that. Not the dark hair. That was kind of cool. But just things in my life, I think back and I say, oh, man, I was so ignorant of things. And I'm ignorant now, but I'm learning now. I'm growing now. Do as I say, not as I do. Is a hypocrite. But to say, do as I say, not as I did, is a teacher. Believers should not be afraid to use their lives as teaching moments to say, don't do that because that was not wise. I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, have the album. Don't go there. You know, we pray for our kids all the time. You know, we don't want them to make the same mistakes that we did. Very proud of our kids. You know, all of them. But, you know, we also have to trust that it's God that's working in their lives that's causing them to make the changes. We all have a past, but it is a testimony to our present. I was told by my mentor and pastor in Reno, Pastor Greg, never to shy back from my testimony, my mistakes, my life, because they are the testimony that God has used to change me and to give people hope that, yes, you know, I'm not one of those pastors that had a perfect life, you know, that grew up in a Christian home that always, you know, did things right. No, I am the poster child for the prodigal son, you know, the wayward son. Don't do it this way. We have to realize that we need to accept the other believers where they are today. Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, think evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. It's not an exhaustive list that Paul gives, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Everyone is going to fall short of our expectations. I do constantly. I don't try to, but I know that there's expectations of me that I will fall short. And it does injure me. It does hurt me, but it's not something I attempt to do and try to do. But I got to tell you something. Being critical is not a spiritual gift. God has given me the ability to be critical. Here, let me tell you about you and how we're going to change you. No, that's not. Here's what a gifted statement is. I know if something's different in your life, what's going on? Are you going through something right now? Because I see a change in you that I don't normally recognize you to come alongside. Grumbling is not a spiritual exercise that we need to do in order to get stronger. But it happens in the church. Criticism and grumbling happens in the church for some reason because we've been somehow offended. And it is hard because all of us are prone to that. And we have to watch ourselves and guard ourselves that Satan doesn't give us that little nudge, because our flesh is still inside us. It's never redeemed, nor is it removed. And it wants to creep these things up. And my gosh, it is such an easy pickings out there in the world. We can pick on things all the time. But it's not healthy to be in the negative mindset. Complaining, though, usually gets back to the ears of the one falling short that you are telling everybody else about. If you got a problem, go to that person. But go to them in love. Go to them in gentleness. Don't go into them, you know, ready to just laser them and you know, a little off the ears. Let's take the ears off, you know. Go to that person. Don't go to everybody else. It's not healthy for a church. Some feel they can never catch a break. They can never get past their shortcomings. You know, that a lot of times that's why pastors get burned out and they leave the ministry, because they can never get it right. Because a good friend of mine growing up at South Baptist Church, and Ricky Floyd was one of those guys that, you know, just was going to be, you know, walk on water, you know. And me, I was cleaning the bottom of the pool. And come to find out later, years later, when God had got a hold of my heart and sent me to seminary, I got a hold of my friend Ricky, and he got burned out of ministry 10 years earlier. Lasted about 11 years. Said, yeah, no more. I thought, really? I mean, it's so exciting. It's so powerful. You know, 14 years now in the ministry, I go, I can understand. But that's why it's a call, because God's giving you the call that you just can't give up on, because you are compelled to do this regardless. But it makes it a lot easier when people are working in a cooperation, you know, cooperatively together. There's a lot of wonderful people here. But it's hard. Ministry is hard. Ministry is hard for you too. I know sitting out there sometimes it's hard. But God never said it would be easy. He did say he would take us all the way through. In another list given to the Corinthian church contained many of these same undesirables, Paul, of these qualities, Paul goes on to say this: such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of our God. We were changed people, and we need to act like changed people. Last week, I gave you my testimony, and I bookend it with a song in the front and a song in the back. You know, the songs were not to bring emphasis on me, but it's a way I use story to tell what God has done in my life. Praise the Lord. The song, wonderful song, sung in this large church at the lowest time in my life, practically. And the anchor holds it. No matter what I've done, God has never given up on me. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Never will I go ahead of you. Never will I leave you behind. That's what that verse means. Because God's right there. Levi. Levi was a tax collector. Became Matthew. He was not the envy of all. In Luke 18:11, said the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Just imagine Levi staying right there before he became Matthew. Matthew 18:17. But if he refuses, talking about discipline within the church, but if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile, which was often referred to as what? The dogs, okay? Low life, and a tax collector. Not even not just a Gentile, but not a esteemed profession. You know, being a pastor is not a esteemed profession anymore. It's not one that people really aspire to become. It used to be a position of respect, but now it's a question. You know, they look at you with a suspicious eye. Immediately they think they want you to give them money. You know, really, I just want you to give your heart to Christ. Matthew knew how to handle money, but it was Judas who was the financial treasurer. But Levi's life was changed in Christ, became Matthew, an apostle. We're called to love one another, an important thing in the body of Christ. 16 verses have this phrase in regards to believers. I'm just going to go through them. You don't have to write them down, but you can do a word search sometime. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I'm not going to go through them all. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, placing their interest above your own. Romans 13:8, Galatians 5:13, Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And on and on and on. We're called to love one another. This is talking about within the body of Christ. Yes, we are to love people in the world so they might know Christ, but as Christians, we got to love each other so that it makes sense to the people around us. In part of that, it's accept authority over you. We want too much to be in control. I know that I do. And I've realized in my life more and more, I have no control whatsoever. And that's okay with me. I'm fine. Because the authority that's over me is benevolent. You know, I much would rather serve my wife and serve my children. And above that, which my wife knows, my wife the same way, to serve my God. You know, that is my focus to come under. I'm not the head of this church. Neither is Pastor Roland, although he's very close. Take me out. Christ is. Christ is the head of this church because we seek his will. And if we don't see him moving, we don't move. As elders in the church, the five of us, we come together and we have a thing that we believe that in the unity of the body. So if there's something within the five of us that there's one feels differently, then we need to work on that because our God is a God of unity, not disunity. It's not a matter of votes. It's a matter of consensus so that we can move forward. Not only should we accept each other, but we need to accept authority and know that God is at work, whether it's in the home or the workplace or in the church. He's not idle. He's not absent from the workings of all around us, especially his church. How do we know? Because of his words of Christ himself in Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Does that leave any doubt to anybody? As far as where authority rests? Not to me. I think it's pretty clear. All is an inclusive word. Does Satan have power on this earth? Say yes, because he does. Does he have more power than Jesus? No. Because Satan, even Satan, the prince of the air, has to answer to God. And he cannot do things which God would not allow. That's why his time is short. Paul further clarifies in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 13:1, every person must be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established or ordained by God. And goes on to say that if we resist authority, basically we're resisting God. Our country, our society, what's accepted, doesn't teach that. It teaches that you basically are autonomous. You can come against the government. You can come against those things because that is your right as an American. That right will someday maybe do us in and will implode rather than explode. Hebrews 13:7, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Again in James 3:1, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. There is an authority that's over us that we come under, and which is God. And our place in that, we will never get outside of that authority. We have to understand that if we take leadership upon ourselves, we are taking a stricter judgment. We have to watch. We can't just do whatever we want to do because God is holding us account. One of the quickest ways to kill life in a growing church is to operate under your own agenda instead of God's. I have done that in my life. I have operated under my own agenda, and it didn't work out very well. I'm not saying in ministry, okay? So there's no fear. Don't run for the door. But in my life, you know, in those at that age 21 and moving forward, I did my own thing, you know, and I very rarely gave God any consideration whatsoever. It took a long time, a lot of stumbling in my life before God got a hold of it. Does that mean you can't voice concerns in the church? Absolutely not. You should voice concerns. You know, your elders, your leaders in the church should always have a response. Well, you just have to trust me. Run for the door. You know, do not pass go or pass go and collect $200. Move, because we should be able to give a reason for something that's going on. And not that, well, we're just taking a leap of faith. Really? You're going to spend $2 million on something that you have no idea that God's calling you to do? No, you have to. You can question, absolutely. God does not mind questions. Neither should the leaders in the church. Doesn't mean you those in authority are perfect. Absolutely. Well, Pastor Roland is. But other, I know, we're all looking at the door. Wow, he's right there, walking through. We're not perfect, you know, and we hold each other accountable in the church because we need to, you know. And but you can come, you can talk. Yeah, but the greatest thing that I love to hear someone say is, hey, are you okay? I notice that you're a little bit, well, I know that I'm odd anyway. But is there something going on? What a gracious thing to do. You know, no, doing good. Or sometimes you say, you know, people ask you, how you doing? And they just get dumbfounded when you actually tell them how you're doing. Okay, I really wasn't, I was just kind of making friendly conversation, you know. The church should be more than that, more than just friendly conversation. I love to see people praying with each other and working together. But offer your words in humble and gentle hearts, remembering who is in charge. Secondly, the C, commune. You need to commune. Spend time with other believers. Definition of commune, to converse or to confer intimately. Intimate conversation. It's where we get the word communion. Communion. We come together and we can get involved. Acts 2:42 to 47 is all about that. It's all about the communion they had. They're breaking of bread together, sharing meals together. They were just growing because they were excited what God was doing. They weren't isolated. In verse 46 says, they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved. The church that works cooperatively together and spends time together, man, it's a blessing because you're excited. I saw you on Sunday. I'll see you next Sunday. You know, come in for the Friday night movie. It's a good social opportunity just to hang out, do stuff, to go to Damascus Road to the restaurants and have a meal together. Whoop, whoop. That was a spiritual comment from that side. It's good things to do, people. Don't isolate yourselves. This was not communism. They share what they had within the body. We cannot meet the ills of Flint, although because there are too many. But we can meet needs here within this body. If we know that there's one, you know, we'll do what we can because God provides. It's amazing how God has provided in just the last few weeks. You know, we had to bless Marge. You know, she went home to be with her Savior, someone who she loved first and foremost, and we were asked if we could do a funeral dinner. Well, we didn't have any money. Guess what? That day, God provided from a check far away funds to do that. Giving glory to God for those things, because God knows. He loves to see people coming together in fellowship. Here we have the Have Need Board, which can be a great tool to share things that are no longer useful to you, but they can be useful to other people. They fellowship. We have a multifaceted body. At this time, we have organized opportunities to get together many days of the week, and it's growing. The Women's Monday Night Bible Study, Wednesday Damascus Rose Study is expanded to not just good-looking young people, but to us as well. Men Need Meat, our men's breakfast once a month. The Sewing for Haiti, ladies get together and have a good time sewing. Zumba Fitness every Tuesday night. There's opportunities. We want to start a thing which is called Dinner at 6, where like three couples get together, you know, without kids, and have an opportunity to have a meal together and get to know each other. And it could be just even dessert at a restaurant, but something that's socially together, it doesn't have to be big, just something small to get to know one another. And that brings me to the Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another as more, all the more you see the day coming, and all the more as you see the day coming, which means the day in which Christ returns. Because there is a exclamation mark on this age. And we want to make sure that we're busy to that point. And that brings us to the third word and letter, which means encourage. The definition of encourage is to inspire with courage, hope, or confidence. There is no time like the present to encourage. This world is ready to beat you down. The churches should be ready to build each other up in God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Romans 5:12, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For his good can also be for the good, because it's good when you build the body up. It's good when you build people up in Christ. Not to please men for favors, but for their benefit. Closing thoughts. Everyone has the opportunity to excel at something. a direction that's given by God. God did not save you to be a sensation. He saved you to be a servant, to serve one another. Our practice in and around grace should be to do these things, to accept, to commune, and to encourage. It's no wonder that the world can see us as hypocrites if they look within the church and all they see is commotion. All they see is disjointedness. There's no body pulling together. Why would people want to join a church like that? Why would they want to join something that seems so distorted? We should be doing these things because we're called to excellence. Story about a group of frogs. What are they called? Like a mob? Are hopping along. And two frogs happen to fall into a deep hole. And they're jumping with all their might. They're jumping all their might. And the people on the top going, hey, it's too deep. Die. And they're jumping and they're jumping. And one frog just finally gets up and dies. And the people keep, hey, just stop. You know, and the other frog, he's jumping, and all of a sudden he jumps out of the hole. And the people around, the frogs around going, why didn't you just die? He says, I thought you were cheering me on, so I just kept working at it. Man, there are people in holes. And the world says, just die. Job's wife said that to him. Curse God and die. But we need to be cheering them on because we might be just that voice that they will be used by God, will be used by God to get them out of that hole. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. People, let God control that tongue. Those things which you know are not of God, then just don't speak them. I have a hard time with that. You know I'm ADD. You know, God love you. You love me, and I appreciate that so much. But I have to guard my tongue sometimes too. Because I know if I say that, I'm going to look so stupid, even more than I am. I'd rather speak things that are just maybe a little humorous and that make a point. But let God control that tongue for you. Encouraging words can lift someone up and help them through the day. Discouraging words can cause deep wounds and destroy someone's ability to get through the day, could destroy their ability to keep trying. Careless, destructive words can diminish someone in the eyes of others and destroy their influence or the way people respond to them. Great power in the tongue. Choose to speak words of life. Choose to speak life into people that will want to draw them to a church like this, that they might know the Savior and might know Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you can speak to us through your word and to admonish and to encourage, to refocus and yet to encourage us forward as well. And so I just pray that the words of your servants that are written in your word would encourage us all to put you first, to seek you first, and to allow our lives reflect that relationship with you that draws people to the cross, that draws them to Jesus. Encourage us in this time in the week ahead, Father, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone,
grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go
Father, help us to go and to share your grace with those who meet this week. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.